Welcome, each one. Welcome, special welcome to our visitors. Morning, thank you for joining with us, worshiping with us. A blessing to be here already. As I pondered the devotional, it fits quite well with what I have to share. I guess one character I thought about in the Bible is Joseph. If anyone would have had an opportunity to go down that path, surely it would have been him. Somehow he worked through that, and he's seen a big God, and somehow understood that God had a bigger plan in mind. And that's kind of the direction that I'm going. So think about that. Think about Joseph as I share this message, and how he allowed himself to be used by God despite his less than ideal circumstances. I'd shared this message at Rome here, Emmanuel, a month ago, so I see Jordan and Chris are here, so I guess you'll hear the same message again. They were there. So trust it can be a blessing to you. Anyway. So here back in November, December, we were doing a little woods clean out project, and my chainsaw failed. And so I took it to the get it repaired, took it to the same store. I purchased it new probably 4 years ago. So after an evaluation, I was just simply going to get an evaluation. Is this worth fixing, or is it time to just move on? So he evaluated, called me back, and felt like it's still worth repairing. He's going to at least give it a try. Gave me a price that he can do it for. So he called me back a week or so later and said he has to complete it together, but unfortunately another bearing is out. And by the time he replaces that, it's pushing me across the line. It's really not worth fixing. But he graciously said he'll take it apart, sent the parts back, and there's basically almost no bill. So I went back to pick it up a little later. I guess I didn't think about what he's going to do, so I came there with my box. He gave me a box of all the pieces. He didn't put it together again. In other words, he just took it apart, got his parts out, and gave me a box of pieces. So 4 years later, my new fancy saw is a bunch of pieces. And the lesson I guess it taught me, I pondered a while after that, is it's a little bit how life feels sometimes, doesn't it? We have ideals, dreams, and visions, and some of us more, some of us less, might find ourselves years later feeling a little like that box of pieces. Our dreams and visions feel like that. I wonder how many of us can stop and say that, you know, as a youth you had dreams and visions, ideals, and at 40, 50 years old you say that life went exactly the way you expect it to go. Just this is what you dreamed, this is what your vision was, and that's how it went. I wonder how many of us can say that. I certainly can't. Again, some of us maybe more, some of us less. If it did go exactly the way you planned, I'm not saying you should feel like something's wrong with that. But many of us, I'm afraid, it doesn't. And again, I'm not saying that having some ideals and vision is wrong. I believe we should. Something's wrong if we don't. But if things don't go the way we planned, do we see ourselves as failure? Or maybe we should, question we should ask ourselves, what is success? What is our definition of being successful? I'd like to look at a couple verses here from John 14. Here Jesus at the last time here with the disciples. John 14, 26, reading on here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, if it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. I guess the question I have here, did that reality sink in to the disciples right then and there? What he was trying to convey to them. In a short time later, you're going to see it. They didn't get it. But the definition of peace, my peace I give unto you there is, I'm going to just read that here, to join peace literally or figuratively. One, peace, quietness, rest, set at one again, which is my message title, peace, set at one again. As you consider that box of pieces that I just described to you, the definition of peace is to set at one again. Put that back together. And I would like to now, if we could sing song number 928, why don't we stand? Can you lead it from your seat there? 928, let's sing this song as a prayer here at the beginning of the service. You can stand.
Nine twenty-eight. Peace control my will. If this struggling heart be still.
thou hast bought me with thy blood, opened wide the gate to God. Peace I asked, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with thee. Outside of that, we're missing it. And then, may thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. What a testimony. It should be our heart's desire. Because chase these doubtings from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart. Savior, at thy feet I fall. Thou my life, my God, my all. Let thy happy servant be one forevermore with thee. I see a surrender. Just the acceptance maybe of wherever this person finds himself. Doubtings. We doubt, don't we? It's not so hard to accept when things are going well, is it? But when we're difficult things come, we begin to question, is this? Might question, we ask the if questions, or rather, why? Why this or why that? But here I see a simply surrender. That's my the definition of peace, to set at one again. And I'd like to consider the parable there of the vineyard and the parable of the kingdom, and where these different servants came, and finally the heir comes, or type of Christ coming, and they kill him. And then after that, here in Luke 20, just there's a few verses following there, Luke 20:17, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So we see surrender is at the very basis of our Christianity. Of becoming a Christian, we must surrender. Whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. Repentance. But then those who will not repent, one day going to grind them to powder. But is this repentance, is this brokenness, is this only a conversion and that's it? Do we never have to break again? I believe it's essential for salvation, but it is, I believe we face it time and time again. But it is essential in becoming a Christian child of God that we are broken, that we have surrendered all. We read those verses in John 14 about Jesus and the disciples there. I'd like to look at that journey a little bit more. If you can turn to Luke chapter 5. And I'll just read the first few verses here. Just a calling of a few of the disciples here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which were Simon's, and prayed him. He would thrust out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So apparently they had a little understanding here of who Jesus is. They wouldn't have had faith to lower the net there. But I think sometimes we can look at these things, especially fishing. We can't really identify with that. We fishing for us as a hobby or a vacation, but this was their livelihood. And imagine going all day and getting nothing, or all night here. They were ready to go do something else, I'm sure, by then. But they, at his word, went back out and dropped the nets again. And then if you could continue, I'll just drop down here to verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I mean, why not? After such an experience, I think that seemed like only the right thing to do, to forsake all and follow Jesus there. But did they understand what they're doing at that point? Did the disciples know what they're signing up for? I don't think they did. Which you'll see that. Now, I think most of us coming to the kingdom had a bit better understanding of the kingdom of God than what these disciples did. Some of us more or less, but they certainly did not understand the new covenant. They understood who had a limited understanding. I'm sure they wouldn't have chosen to follow. But consider what all they experienced. Consider the miracles. I mean, water to wine. You had healings. Blind having their sight given back. You had feeding of the 5,000. You had multitudes following. Here in just a couple verses here from Matthew 3. "And said unto them, Art thou come?" This is after John the Baptist was killed, and that they were he wasn't beheaded this time. He was in prison. "And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." So you have all these wonderful experiences that they would have had the opportunity to observe and follow. And you take the Mount Transfiguration, for example, where they go up onto the mountain. Let me just read a couple verses there in Luke 9. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." Well, Peter would have been pretty content just to park right there with three tabernacles, him and Moses and Elijah. That wasn't the point of what Jesus was trying to get across there to them. He was coming to fulfill the law and the prophets. But again, wonderful time, but they left that mountain. They went right down. Didn't stay there. How about Lazarus being raised from the dead? or the widow woman's son, only son, being raised to life there in Nain. But then, just after what those verses I read there in John 14, here in Luke chapter 22, says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Here we see plainly that Peter wasn't getting it. He didn't understand what he had committed to, or what he was following, or what he had signed up for when he forsook his net there and followed Jesus. However, I'm not going there today, but if you go into the book of Acts, he connected the dots. Like I mentioned earlier, most of us had a better understanding of the kingdom of God than Peter did when we committed our lives to Christ. Same time, does life always make sense? Do we always understand? I don't think we do. Now another, look at the disciples, another strong Bible character that we look at from time to time. Consider Paul, a strong, self-sufficient man going down to Damascus to take Christians off to prison and kill them. He goes from that to meeting Jesus there and having the scales over his eyes, and he's being led by the hand. Quite a change in a short time. And I guess the words that he used there that show his, it's just a huge, big change of heart. It's, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Quite different from he's coming down there and he's got things under control. There again, I believe he did it out of ignorance. I believe Paul didn't fully understand what, he didn't understand the new covenant. But we see a great change there. And for those of us who were here at Harmony or memorizing Philippians chapter 3, here are the past Bible memory passages. Majority of that is simply Paul's testimony. And I like to, in light of this message, I'd like to consider that just a little bit. Let's turn there to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a few verses here from 7 on. Should be very familiar to us. The blessing of looking at a passage like we did. But what things were gained to me, those I count it loss for Christ. And you know that he gave his credentials, so to speak, of who he was. And he had all that he had to surrender. But what things were gained to me, those I count it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll just stop there. The part that I want to pull out here a little bit is in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend, the word apprehend, it means to take eagerly, to seize or possess, attain, come upon, comprehend, find, obtain, perceive, or overtake, means to grab a hold of. But he doesn't stop there. If you keep reading, I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So he's following, he's reaching forth, same time Christ has apprehended him, has a hold of him. I think it's a beautiful point. It's a two-way relationship. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul had quite a bit to release, didn't he, from his past. Imagine living with the reality that you were taking people Christians off to prison for death sentence. Most of us, probably more or less, have things from the past that we have to lay aside or forget or release. We read those verses out of Psalms 103 this morning of how that forgiven as far as the east is from the west. We need to grab a hold of that reality. And Paul had to do that in a real way, and so do we. So it's the question I have here is my past hindering me from reaching forth? Is there something in my, and that's what part of what we heard here in the devotional, is there something there that is got my focus or that I'm dwelling on that I really should lay aside, forgetting the past? We might not be able to erase it, but we can consciously choose to release it, give it up, and reach forth unto those things which are before. And then he don't stop there. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His sights are set on the finish line. And I believe there's a point there that we need to remember. When life doesn't make sense, that does. The realities of the kingdom of God do, even though our present life might not. I have a few points here I would like to look at, considering set at one again, experiencing that peace of God. And along with that, I have a story here. Our testimony. I'm going to try to relay to you. Here, back in beginning of March, I guess. Eblings has a open house, and so they bring in all their contractors, And as part of that, one of the owners there gave a speech, and he shared his testimony. Now, I don't know this individual. I know most of the individuals there, I don't know this individual well. But I was blessed that he was willing to share in a group like that. Group of, I don't know, is it 500 people, maybe? Big, large group of people. His name is Tony Hollinger. Some of you might recognize his name. Like I said, he's in the office. I don't see him. Related back to a little bit to his childhood. Grew up in a family of 12 here in the local area here, I believe. And his dad, somewhere in his childhood, his dad took him to a sale or something and purchased a cheap lawn tractor simply to allow him to tinker with. With his tinkering with that tractor gave him a longing to work on lawn equipment. And his kind of put him on a path that's what he really wanted to do. And so he's kind of, you know him, he's a little bit I know him, it seems like he's a daring person. And so as a young married person, he was married 23 years old, I think, if I have it correct. There was here along 422, there was a business for sale, I believe it was called, I don't know if he changed the name, if it was called that or not, if it was Service Plus. So I didn't grow up in Maristown, so I can't verify any of these details. Some of you might be able to. So this business was for sale, and he only had, young married, has $1,000 to his name. And he, with zeal, he is what he wants to do. So he confided with his father-in-law a little bit, asked him what he thinks. And he kind of was negative. Are you sure you're ready for this? Challenged him a little bit. He just brushed that aside and moved forward anyway. Now the thing about him, while he enjoyed lawn equipment, he had no idea how to operate a business or even read numbers. And so after a number of tough years, he had himself at a place where he was in too deep to step out, but didn't know how to go forward. So his way of dealing with it was to just simply work harder, work longer hours, and so he was working these long hour days. And finally, his different people, I believe, tried to speak into his life. He wasn't hearing them. But one day one evening about 8 o'clock or so, his wife comes into the shop there he's working and faced him straight on and said, you're making life very difficult for me. And just unloaded and got his attention. And so at that point, he resolved that he's going to make some changes. He made some a small minor changes. I think he said he took a family vacation, or he didn't have any children at this time, but took a vacation, a few small things. I'm not sure, again, I can't tell you how long time frame this was, but sometime later after that, he was trying to sell a piece of equipment, and another employee, which I know that employee well, but he came over to him and told him that, you know, he needs to get to the phone. It's a phone call for him. He said, well, just wait. I'll finish selling this piece of equipment. No, he said, you need to come to the phone now. And he was told that his wife was just in an auto accident on 501. So after a few days, I believe, being in the hospital with her, she was killed. And so he lost his wife there. It was 2000 something. I can't give you a date there. So he found himself, and his resolve was that he's going to work hard now, and then he'll get things up and going, and he'll be able to be a family man. That was his vision. All of a sudden, everything's gone. His wife is gone. Now what does he do? So for a time, he fell into sin, fell into pornography, various, fell away from God completely, I believe, for a time. And here I don't have it quite straight, but somewhere in there, Eblings came over to talk with him. Him and Eblings were big competitors. And with his attitude, I guess, he would have never talked working together. So they came over and made an appeal to him that, you know, why don't they join and work together? And due to the circumstances, he actually was willing to listen. And sometime in there, they joined, that's why we have Eblings Service Plus today. He was single for 7 years in there. And today, I guess, somewhere in there, he was speaking to a mixed crowd here. This was supposed to be a business meeting. He didn't get real specific, but he told us he got converted. He did. Did he say he got converted or met with God? At any rate, he found freedom in there. And I guess today he's married now for 7 years and has 4 children. I don't know the family. But I guess as I pondered his story there, sure, he made a number of choices there. But talk about making pieces out of your life. Do we have to go that long fighting, or can we have a heart of surrender? But the blessing is God can set at one again, we'll allow him to. I have a few points here. I mean, for us to experience that peace, point number one is we must be able to comprehend God's love for us. My question is, can we see God's love for us in our difficult times? Does somehow pull back? Does his love pull back from us when we're going through difficulties? How did Paul say, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus? He understood that God had a hold on him. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, I think, says it well here. I'd like to read a few verses here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Beautiful prayer here. That we might be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a blessing. It's in a corporate, I see that here, it's in a corporate settings for the church. Paul was apprehended of Christ, and now he's reaching forth. Can we do the same? Point number two is we need to have faith and trust. I don't know, somehow Joseph had faith in God. Somehow he understood that God can take care of him. I don't know how much understanding he had of the big picture. I can't imagine that much. Without faith, it's going to be hard to give our pieces to God. A I'd like to consider Job a little bit, his faith. How much did he understand in the middle of his difficult circumstances, and then with his friends coming there and dialoguing with him? How much did he understand? He did have a connection with God. I'd like to consider a couple verses here from the book of James, James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. And here's some beautiful verses for anyone that is has questions. Or pieces. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's okay to keep asking. That's what I see here. But asking in faith. What about unanswered prayer? Praying about something you aren't getting a, or maybe you would say that you're getting a no. Maybe we're not accepting it. You can look at it that way. But what about something you're praying about and not, can we have perseverance, so to speak, keep on going in what we do know? What about life with its many decisions? Some of them big and some of them small. You can't avoid it. We're all, especially us men, we're faced with decisions, aren't we? Many, many decisions that we need to make. We can stick our head in the sand and hope that things go away, or there's not. We need to look at it, and have that faith and confidence that God will direct us. Point number three is surrender. I like to think of just after Jesus was with the disciples there, from John 14 to 17, if you go to just after that, he went across the brook there and went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And showed us how to deal with difficulty, didn't he? I have to read just a couple of those verses. Just after he told words, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here in Luke 22, And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about his stones cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Again, I'm only looking at part of it. He did this three times. And it says in one of the Gospels, he's sweating as drops of blood. Intense wrestling here with the going to the cross. But after he leaves here, after he leaves the Garden of Gethsemane, we don't see any hesitation whatsoever of going to the cross. He resolved to go forward. So So my question is, do we also need to struggle, wrestle in our difficulties to experience this set at one again, this peace? It might require some wrestling in prayer, wrestling with our thoughts or our surrender towards whatever situation we are in. Point number four is a broken and contrite heart. We sort of looked at that at the beginning there, a broken heart. David in Psalms 51, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David here in repentance understood what God was looking for. The sacrifice of God, he could give up many things for his to try to cover his or even out his sin, but no, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is in the old covenant whenever used to animal sacrifices and many different things. He's going to the heart. Just a couple verses here from Isaiah chapter 66. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." A broken and contrite heart, place of rest, place of peace. And point number five is quietness, peace, and rest. In Philippians 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So can we experience that even when we don't understand everything? It might mean ongoing wrestling for it, but I believe we can. Now, I'd like to consider, we talked about Job just a little bit there at the beginning. I'd like to consider Job at the end of the book of Job and some of his responses when God starts dialoguing with him. In Job 40, verse 3 here, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no farther." And then in Job 42, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I've uttered, that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." Did Job's understanding of God change there quite a bit? He's seen God as seen the bigger picture, didn't he? Job came to a deeper understanding. through the tests that he went through. And I believe his testimony would have been, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Set at one again. Now, I can't end the story quite like a mechanic could, but that saw I have, you could put that right back together again and use it. All you need is a few more pieces there, and you could put that together, and it could be useful. Same way with us. It feels like there's pieces. Your life is many pieces. God can put them together. God can set them at one again. God can use us despite of our things that we don't understand. He can make something useful, beautiful, out of our lives. But the thing to keep in mind is it might be different than we thought. So I trust it could be an encouragement to you, but that we could aspire to walk in the peace of God. Those who can, let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we quiet our hearts before you this morning. Just thank you for your care to us. We're thankful that you are our shepherd, that you know us individually, you know us corporately. We desire to surrender our lives to you, allow you to direct us, to use us in your kingdom. Lord, that we could be fruitful in your kingdom, and that your church could be beautiful, church could be useful, and that we could be effective on the world around us, to the world around us. Lord, I pray a special blessing in each one of us. Help us to be able to walk in faith, trust, to be surrendered to what you have for us. Lord, we love you. Pray that you guide, direct our week, the activities of the afternoon, that we could do all to your honor and glory. It's in Jesus' precious name. Amen.